right in.
Good morning.
But I want to start out with a prophecy that was given by Dave Wilkerson in 1986. And he told his Mike Evans, y'all heard me talk about Mike Evans, who's over the Jerusalem prayer team.
Okay.
He told him this more than 30 years ago. He said, I see a plague coming to the world, and the bars and the churches and the government will be shut down.
Wow.
It will force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and out of it will come a third great awakening.
Hey, praise God, praise God, praise God. Revival. Amen.
Amen.
I want to read this.
Now, who said? Who was that, David?
That was Dave Wilkerson that prophesied that.
Wow.
You know, also the switchblade guy, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to read something else here, too. It's when all that can be shaken has been shaken, the people of God must be ready for the amazing work He is about to do in and through our lives.
Mm-hmm.
When all that can be shaken is shaken.
Uh-huh.
That's happening right now. You know, and everything that's happening right now is being shaken. But I'm going to get on with the scriptures here. But how many, you know, remember back when we was gathering together there? And I began to share about the heart, you know, and we got over into the fourth chamber of the heart, and we're talking about the 30 and the 60 and the 100 fold.
Mm-hmm. David, can I just stop you just for a minute?
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody got a bird tweeting? He didn't stop.
Oh, I'm going to sit inside. I'm sitting on my...
Oh, you out there with nature, girl.
I like that bird. You want to get in on it, too.
Yeah, I like sitting out there with the creation, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm inside.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but if you want to sit out there with creation, all you got to do is mute your button. Your creation can sit out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me mute it. Well, let me
just mute it. And when you want to say something, just unmute it.
Oh, yes. Come on, Holy Ghost. All right.
Yeah. Sit out there with them. David, and talk a little louder, David. A little.
Okay. And back to understand that Jesus explained to us, I'm looking in the fourth chapter of Mark here, and I'm going to read some out of the Passion Translation. I love this Passion Translation. But he explained this 30, this 60, and this 100-fold is understanding. And like I say, we're in Mark chapter 4 here, but I want to start up and read verse 33. It says, Jesus used many parables such as these as he taught the people, and they learned according to their ability to understand. They learned according to their ability to understand. And you think, you know, you kind of look within yourself and you sort of think, well, how much understanding do I have? How much understanding do I have? But I'm going to stop right there and ask you this question. How many of y'all guys remember when you was kids going on a field trip to the symphony? I think that's where they carried most of us when we was kids. Hopefully all y'all went there, but I know when I was third or fourth grade, we went to the symphony, and it was something new. It was, you know, it was that field trip.
Yeah.
But after this, Jesus, it goes on in the fourth chapter of Mark here. I'll just continue to read here. It says, later that day, after it grew dark, Jesus said to his disciples, this is field trip 101, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And after they had sent the crowd away, they shoved off from the shore with him. And he had been teaching them from the boat. And there were other boats that sailed with them. And suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious tempest arose, and violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was all but swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on the cushion. So they shook him awake and saying, "Teacher," they said, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die?" And fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, calm down." You know, a lot of times, "Hush," there. He just said, "Hush, yeah, calm down." And all at once, the wind stopped and the waters became perfectly calm.
And
he turned to the disciples and said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you not learned to trust yet?" But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe and said one another, "Who is this man who has such authority that even the winds and the waves obey him?"
Jesus.
I started out teaching on the heart here a few weeks ago, but Sister Mary, she come right behind me. She began to speak on authority, teaching on authority. And we see here from the Word of God that this is a divine step, you know, searching your hearts, understanding in your heart. And as Jesus taught the folks, he brought them in to teaching them about authority. You know, we got to get that heart first right before we go into this authority. And Jesus went on in the stories here that, you know, he set that demonized man set free, and, you know, them hogs run off and all. And then he went on to heal or resurrect Jairus' daughter and heal that woman with the bleeding, you know, there in the stories. But then after that, Jesus sent them out. He sent them out in authority. But we see here that these disciples, they was really quick to learn, even though they was fishermen and this and that other. They had more understanding than, you know, because sometimes we think, well, you know, Lord, I really don't, you know. But we got more understanding than we credit ourselves for.
And amen.
I want to show you in the scriptures the purpose of understanding. Why is it so important? Why is the spirit of understanding, the Holy Spirit, why is that one of his, if I can say, characteristics or whatever, but why is understanding so important to us? And you know, back when we went through the Psalms, Psalms 119 here, talking to David that wrote these Psalms, he says, "Lord, make me understand." That was his request. "Make me understand."
Amen.
And then several times in there, he says, "Lord, give me understanding. Give me," I think it was maybe seven times he said, "God, give me understanding." But I want to read in Psalms 119 and just out of the regular King James here, I'm going to show you what understanding is for, what its purpose is in our lives. You know, not only do we understand God and ourselves, but here's another purpose for understanding, in which God is calling us to these last days. But he says in 119, starting as 97, it says, "Oh, how I love my law. It is my meditation all the day."
Yeah.
"That though thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." He said his enemies is out there. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies on my meditation. You know, he wasn't being arrogant there. He was just saying, Lord, I think upon you. I meditate on you. And he goes on, he says, I understand more than the ancients. You know, that first understanding was 30-fold. But he says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. That's the 60-fold there that we refrain from evil and keep the word of the Lord. And it goes on to say, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey. You know, the word of the Lord is sweet to us, isn't it? And he says, through your precepts, through your instructions, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way.
Amen. I love that.
When we begin to hate evil, the ever false way, you know, the Bible said of Jesus that he was anointed by God and went forth and did good and destroyed the works of the enemy. You know, Bible said of David that the Lord said of him, that's a man after my heart. But you know, David's, you know, he was a warrior, wasn't he? He would fight God's enemies till his last breath. He messed up some in the Bible. We all know that. He messed up some. But he was a warrior that understanding brought him into that. You remember when he went out and fought against the giant that day, and they told him what the reward was. He said, "I do what again? What y'all say that was?" He wanted to get a full understanding of even the small details back then. But that understanding brought him great success. But I'm about to throw what I'm saying, but
well, David, what verse was that? I hate every false way.
It was 104.
Psalm 119, 104.
Yeah, but when I think about that, you remember back Brother Thurston teaching us, you know, about authority and him taking authority over the people, firing them guns, you know, and all. He wasn't, you know, taking that authority. He was taking that authority to do warfare against evil. You know, that's the purpose in authority, for us to do warfare against evil. It's not to believe for a new pair of socks, and I ain't saying nothing's wrong with that. But as we grow up in the Lord, we got to take the place. But I'm going to leave on this comment. When we get back in that classroom, the Holy Spirit is leading us through Sister Mary that in coming into that authority, because we're going to have to know what belongs to us. We're going to have to know how to fight the enemy, because in these last, you know, God's going to show himself great within us and through us to set the captives free. You know, cast demons out of people. I mean, he's growing us up, guys, and he's using. We can even see here in the Word how it goes from step to step to step.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna finish with that, and I'm gonna just. Can I say one more? I'm gonna say one more thing.
Yeah.
But Jesus himself. You know, when he talked about the works, it's over in John, I think, chapter 5. But he talked about us doing greater works, and I think chapter 14. But when he talked about the works, works he would do of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about God's love for us. And that's one thing we're going to have to do as we come into this. We're going to have to speak of God's love for us and let that be our strength and our power to do warfare and fight against the enemy. Because that love's never going to fail. But if Jesus Christ himself spoke of the Father's love to empower him, how much more have we got to do those things? So, Brother
Amen, amen.
David, this is Mary. Can I say something?
Yeah.
Hey, Ward.
Yeah.
Yes,
morning.
Okay. It goes along with you talking about authority and all and the works. You're talking about works of Jesus. Well, these are two scriptures that I've been meditating on. John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?
Come on
Jesus
now. I just said, amen. Come on.
Okay.
Amen. That's good.
Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent. So you have to, like you said, Jesus, that faith comes from Jesus. You can do anything if you believe the name of Jesus and the power behind Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the first step. Who said, you know, works of God? How do you do the works of God? Jesus answered, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who has sent him.
Amen. Right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'll be quiet. Thank you, Thurston.
That was good. Fine, Mary. That was real good. Because the works that we do, we're not doing them. It's just like Jesus told the people, it's the Father in me. He does the work. So if we believe on Jesus, he's doing the work through you. You're just his voice. You're just his instrument. You're just, he's doing the work. That's the reason Jesus was so successful in his ministry. He said, it's the Father in me. He does the work.
And he didn't doubt that the Father would do the work, did he? Because he did everything the Father told him to do.
Yeah.
Amen.
So one of the keys is hearing from the Holy Spirit and doing what God tells us to do. Not on our own, but when he tells to walk in the Spirit.
Amen. That was good, Mary. That was good, David.
Hey, Dan.
That's a blessing. I thank God for this class. You know, being stirred in the Spirit is one of the best things that can happen to a person. And
amen.
And I love it. I thank God for what he's doing. And he's moving by his Spirit. Things that I'm thankful for the things I know about. And I'm also thankful for the things that I don't know about that he's doing. And I remember when he, back in 2017, the week before Thanksgiving, he said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. And it, I sat up in the bed that morning. It was a morning just like today, a Saturday. And a lot of times on Saturday morning, he'll say something, and I'll just sit up in the bed or either lay down and think about it for an hour. But I felt like a lot of things are going to be wasted if he came right then. And it made me diligent. It made me want to do his will. And I said, this is a time I really need to draw near to the Lord like never before, because the things that we do now can make the difference. And so the best thing I knew to do was pray in the Holy Spirit and pay attention to him. And I thank God that we're still here 2 years later, and almost three years later, and things are being shaken. And I thank God for that prophecy of David Wilkerson that Brother David just alerted us to. And, you know, one of the prophets on Sid Roth, he said, this is the uncomfortable revival. And I said, I can see the yeah, it is. Another guy said that he went to Walmart and all the Bibles were sold. People had bought all the Bibles. So this is true. It's coming to pass. And I thank God for what he's doing. He's moving by his spirit. That's the point I wanted to make. He's doing things that we're going to deeply appreciate. You know, and when it comes to end times, I that was one of my favorite hobbies, more than something to teach. When I first got saved, I used to love to study the end times, and as I study it deeper and deeper, I realized that God is doing something that we're going to all appreciate, and we're going to, once all this is over, we're in heaven, we'll see that he was working behind the scenes to gather his people that he loves. You know, God loves people. And that's the thing that he put on my heart to talk about his love. There are things about love that enhances our abilities. And one of the wisest things I ever prayed was, I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. And from there, I stopped focusing on what people were doing at the moment that they are doing it. I'm looking at, they are a valued person to God. So I was motivated to share his love with everybody, not just people I like, but people that are mean, people that are evil, people that sell drugs, people that are doing things. Because I remember a long time ago, Jesus said, when I first got saved, I read what Jesus said, he that is forgiven much, love much. And I found that to be true. And I was a pastor's son. I was the son of two pastors, really. My mother was, she was more than just a pastor's wife. She was dedicated. I saw her dedicated every day of my life. And she served my father.
Amen, amen. Come on now.
I would walk past her bedroom. Their bedroom was next to mine. And I would have to walk past their bedroom to go to mine. And she would be on her knees praying every night. She would go to bed before my dad. And I hear her praying for the family, praying things that needed to be prayed for. And when I wasn't saved myself, and I tried to do some of the things that, you know, me and my friends would want to do, it wouldn't work for me. And sometimes it wouldn't work for them either, because our parents were praying for us. And I mean, it's embarrassing to tell all the things that I would have done, but it wouldn't work. It just, and I realized that it was the prayers of my parents. And I've heard them praying for us. And I knew that, you know, our parents would overhear us talking, and I'm sure they'd hurt and they'd pray, you know, they'd just counsel whatever we were doing. And things they knew and things they didn't know. I lived on the other side of Christianity where I was not a Christian. And your logic is totally different. But there's a lot of things I never did. I never been drunk. I never smoked cigarettes. I never got high. I never took drugs. It's a lot of things I never did. But people have had a devastating situation in the world. And they'd love God. And I said, now, Lord, I didn't do some things, but I want to love you. I want my love for you to increase. Because I've messed up a lot of things in my life, and I didn't want to mess this up. And the only way I could please God is to love him. I wanted to love him so much I wouldn't do some things. So I asked him to teach me how to love his people. And just, you know, if you lived a mild life and others lived a devastating life, your love is increasable. And there's no limit to how much it can increase. I still ask the Lord to help me love just like Jesus loved us. That's our goal. If we love every person just like Jesus loved us, then we'll be motivated. From there, you can find abilities that you already have. They're locked. It's like the abilities that you have are on hold until you receive the love of God and make it your own. And this morning, I was praying about what he wanted me to talk about yesterday and this week. And it was about his love. One of the key things he said is motivation. I said, Lord, I know what motivation is, you know, but I said, I learned if you ask him for a definition, he can give you a definition, and it gives you more clarity on the word. And like Sister Deborah said, if God said it, it's worth writing down. So I wrote it down in my notebook. And this is short. He said, motivation is determined love. It's determined love. You are when you become determined in the things of God, that's when he has your attention. And when he has your attention, all the things that would cause you to stop, you won't see those things like you once did. When David saw Goliath, he didn't see defeat because he had been in the presence of God, worshiping. That's where we get that kind of motivation, through worship and praise and just asking God to help you love others, because people are very, very contrary. If you look at them, you can lose motivation. You'll say, what's the use? How can I, you know, it's not going to work. They're not listening. Don't look at them. Look at what God can do in people. And sometimes he can use your love to jumpstart them. Every now and then I get a call with me, and the battery dies because some light is on or it hadn't cranked in a long time, and I have to get my truck and jumpstart it. So your love can jumpstart people. When they make a mess of things, instead of critiquing them and telling them what they know they shouldn't have done, you have to deal with it by the Holy Spirit. And whatever you say and whatever you need to say, it'll come out right.
Amen.
Love people.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah. They already know they're wrong. Yeah.
Okay, the last person that came on, please mute your phone. Okay, continue, Apostle.
Okay. So the thing is, when you the love of God, you may have to say what's on your heart, but the way you say it and the timing will be perfect.
Amen.
When you go in his presence, you have something. You have a comparison. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you see things as they truly are. Satan is just a worm, but he wants to come and make himself look like a dragon. You know, Pastor Jackson said he started out a serpent, then they fed him. They did feed him. They bought into his lies. Now he's a dragon. But he's still a worm. He was always a worm. He was always a wannabe. And he's going to die a wannabe. And the people he take to hell, they're going to be wannabes too. They're going to wish they hadn't. And they're going to look narrowly on him and say, is this the man that caused all this trouble? And it is. He was a worm, and he became a snake. And then they fed him through their fear, and he became a dragon. So the enemy, when he had he knew all along that he didn't have authority to do what he was doing. But if he can get you to look at him and not God, then he's real dangerous then. So when the angels married the women and had children, they were giants. If you look at what the giants did, what Goliath did, he tried to bully with his voice. The things, you know, everything he said, he tried to bully his way, but David didn't buy it. Because when you go in God's presence, you have a comparison. He saw Goliath as a worm, picked up five stones. He started running toward the giant. Then he loaded his sling while he was in stride. Then he slung it and didn't miss, because he relied on the strength of God. He had the authority of the Lord like we do. And God can take our puny actions and we'll slay all of our giants in our life. Whatever you do for God, trust me, it's going to be a puny action that does great things. A prayer on your knee can stop wars. Remember when the drought happened and Ray said, why don't we just shut this drought down? And we all agreed in faith. Nobody said, well, you know, we didn't even give God a back door. We just took authority over it and it started raining. And then as a scientist and a farmer, he explained that the gentle rain came first so that it wouldn't wash away the soil. And then it continued to rain and didn't stop and the drought was over. We took authority over in that room at church.
Amen, amen. Yes, we did.
We have abilities through the love of God. And in his presence, we get it. But if your focus changes, if you look at the people and the contrariness and their laziness and, you know, they're always doing something wrong, if you focus on that, that'll get bigger than God's ability.